Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Eric Colquitt leads us in the series, Emoticons.
All right. Have you ever placed your trust in something that let you down? Maybe it was one of those commercials that you just saw. Maybe you tried one of those things. I love the pillow thing. It's just sad though, right? It's just sad. Maybe you thought that wearing something like this was a good idea. It's a snuggie. You know, it's not bad for keeping you warm, but it's a terrible fashion statement. Just so you know, this is TJ Goff's snuggie. Let that sink in. Maybe you've always wanted to make a bowl out of bacon. So you went and got yourself one of these. The perfect bacon bowl. You seen one of these? It's kind of awesome. Right on the box, you can make mac and cheese with it, a burger, a BLT, or a dessert. Don't you want to do that? So you get your bacon bowl made, and it's just not quite what you thought it would be. Or maybe you've been determined to never lose anything in your car ever again. So you got you one of these. It's a catch caddy. You seen one of these? Put that puppy right there between your seats. You're never going to lose anything, right? Until you go to the drive-thru, and they're handing you the change and the french fries, and stuff still drops. So it lets you down. Or maybe, just maybe, you decided to take your cannon and shoot giant holes in your boat. Have you seen that? You've seen the commercial. It's crazy. So you go and you get yourself some Flex Seal. Spray it on your boat, but your boat still sinks. We get let down, right? Maybe. Now, gotta find it. Gotta be careful with this one. Real careful here. Oils. Ooh, get quiet. Now, full disclosure. We have some of these at our house. This is where this came from. We have the thing that blows the smoke out everywhere. Makes it nice and healthy. Full disclosure, over the holidays, I burnt my finger. And so my family said, rub some of this oil on your finger. And I was like, no way. But I did it. And guess what? It kind of felt better after about 5 minutes. I didn't have a blister or anything. But has anybody ever told you, just rub some of this on you? It'll cure you from all your ails, right? The point is, we all get sold things that don't deliver. All of us have placed our trust in things that don't deliver. What happens when this happens to us? What does this cause us? It causes us doubt. Doubt begins to creep into our mind. Now, before I go too negative about doubt, I must say that having a little doubt sometimes is a good thing. I found this out recently. Last week, a guy from Africa emailed me and said he was in big trouble. He needed some help financially. Guess what? I'm going to be rich. Sometimes having a little doubt is not a bad thing. Let me ask you this, though. Have you ever placed your doubt in God? Have you ever had doubts about God? Have you ever felt like that God didn't come through on a promise that he said he would do, that he said he would take care of you? How does this happen? Maybe you had a job interview and you thought for sure you were going to get this job and you didn't get it. You're like, what happened, God? Or maybe there's a crisis in your life that you're facing, and maybe you've lost a loved one just way too early. You're like, where is God? And deep down, you begin to convince yourself that when adversity is present, God must be absent. God's nowhere to be found. What about your relationship with your friends? How does it work with that? Have you ever doubted a friend? I believe that doubt is one of the things that causes relationships to break up, to mess up. I believe it's that having doubt destroys relationships. You see, when your trust is broken, a wall forms between you and the other person, and sometimes it can take years for that wall to be torn down. See, trust is the opposite of doubt. And we've been in this series over the last couple weeks talking about healthy ways to deal with our emotions. And today we're going to talk about how to deal with doubt in a healthy way. And I believe it's to develop a healthy trust in God and those He's placed in your life. And let me ask you this. What happens when life throws you a curveball? What happens when you're walking through your life and all of a sudden you look ahead and you're like, man, this is not where I thought I was going to be. This is not what I wanted. Maybe you have a child and you always hoped they would be this one thing. They would achieve this certain thing. But now it's clear that they're just not going to achieve that thing. They're going to take a different track, a less glamorous path. What do we do in those moments? Maybe you find yourself in a place that maybe you created or maybe you didn't, but it's not where you want to be. It's not where you thought your life would be heading. Maybe you're in a marriage and you're going one way and your spouse is going the other way. And no matter what you do, nothing seems to work. What do we do in these moments? Maybe you have a disability or you've had an accident and now life is way different. And you look ahead in your life and it's going to be way less fun, much more difficult. What do we do in these moments when we find ourselves looking ahead in our life and it seems so uncertain, so unclear? You see, I believe, again, deep down in our minds, in our spirits, we begin to convince ourselves that when these things happen to us, when we're faced with so many challenges, that when adversity is present, that God's not present, that He must be absent. But today, I want you to walk out of here today and be convinced that the opposite is true. I want you to know that just because adversity is present, it doesn't mean that God is absent. Just because adversity is present, it doesn't mean that God is absent. You see, we have no idea what God may be doing around us. And I want you to know that there's no correlation between your current circumstance and what God might be trying to do in that moment. And today, I want you to know that I have found this to be true over and over in my life. Let me give you a quick example. We have three beautiful children, Allie, Sam, and Emily. They bring us so much joy. And after we had Allie and Sam, we thought we were good. We had a nice little family, a boy and a girl. Life was good. There they are. Yeah, awesome. And so we thought we were good. Not long after we moved to Myrtle Beach to help start Wellspring Church, we found out that God had different plans. We were having another child. We were having Emily. And in this moment, all these thoughts and worries and doubts began to flood to our minds. What were we going to do? Our car wasn't big enough. Our house wasn't big enough. Things were uncertain because we'd just moved here. Finances were tight. And in this moment, we had a choice to make. We could let our doubts overcome us and guide our lives and surround us, or we could choose to trust God in this moment and let Him show us the way forward. We chose to trust God. And then Emily came along, and now we cannot imagine our life without her. She brings us so much joy. And you know what else happened in this moment? God took care of every little thing that we were worried about. Every little thing that we thought was going to cause us so much doubt and pain, God took care of it. He made a way. And we have found in our life that over and over and over, trusting God is always worth it. All throughout the Bible, there are many stories of men and women who faced far greater challenges than what I just talked about, who faced far greater adversaries and experiences that they didn't know how to handle. When they looked ahead, all seemed so uncertain. And all throughout the Bible, we see that these men and women chose in these moments to trust God and to trust Him in whatever was happening. And God was able to use them in these moments, and their faith grew, and He did some amazing things through them. And today we're going to look at one of those stories, and it comes from the book of Ruth. And what we're going to see in this story is that the person that we're going to be talking about knew that just because adversity was present, somehow they knew deep down that just because adversity was present, it doesn't mean that God is absent. So let me set the story up for you. We start in Israel. And in Israel at this time, there was a famine occurring. And we see a family there. It's Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons. And because the famine was occurring, Elimelech decided to move his family to Moab, to another country, for hopes of a better life, so things could be better. So that's what they did. They packed up the family and they moved. Well, not long after they arrived there, we don't really know why, but Elimelech died. And so Naomi was left with just her two sons there in Moab. Now, her two boys ended up marrying two local Moabite women. And their names were Ruth and Orpah. Not Oprah, Orpah. These Bible names, they'll mess you up sometimes. So they married these two girls. And about 10 years after this happened, again, we don't really know why, but these two boys also died. So Naomi now found herself in a foreign country with just her two daughters-in-law. And things were difficult for her. That meant a difficult road ahead. Because now all hopes of continuing that bloodline were now gone. If you've ever spent time in a foreign country, you know the feeling that she had. You know, it was nice being there, but deep down she knew this just wasn't her home. So she decided to head back to Israel. And she also knew and had found out that the famine there was now gone. So life could be a little better for her. It was going to be difficult, but it would be better than living in a foreign country. And at this moment, she asked her two daughters-in-law to return with her. Now, because of their marriage, they were duty-bound to go with her, to be with her. And so that's what she did. She asked them to go with her so that at least she wouldn't be alone in a foreign country, back in her home country. So they packed everything up, all their belongings, and they started down the road back to Israel. Now, for just a moment, I want us to stop and think about what must have been going through the minds of these ladies. What must have they been thinking about as they started to pack everything up, as they started down this road? And today we're going to key in on Ruth. So let's think about her for a moment. I believe that Ruth found herself at that dead-end moment. Life had definitely thrown her a curveball. When she looked ahead, all she saw was uncertainty. It was not the life that she thought she was going to have. She had lost her husband, and her picture-perfect family was never going to happen. Because for some reason, over these 10 years, they hadn't had kids yet. And so all hopes of having that family that she desperately wanted were now gone. And now she's been asked to go to a foreign country, to leave the place she's always known. And all hopes of ever remarrying there again would be very slim. Because she had so many things working against her. She would be a foreigner. She had a long history of no children. And she had no one that could negotiate for her marriage there. So when she looked ahead at her life, all seemed like it was going to be a bad place and all seemed lost. And when she looked ahead, all she saw was an uphill battle to survive, filled with poverty. Now, do you think Ruth, in this moment, as she walked towards Israel, had doubts? Do you think she had doubts? Should she have had doubts? Would they have been justified? I think so. Somewhere along the way, I think Naomi begins to think to herself, what in the world am I asking these girls to do? See, her road was going to be difficult, but theirs was going to be so much more difficult. And she began to think to herself, why am I asking them to go with me? I can't do this to these girls. And that's where we're going to pick up our story. We're going to begin reading in Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. Check this out. It says, go back to your homes and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with security of another marriage. Then she kissed them goodbye and they all broke down and wept. See, Naomi knew this was the most compassionate thing she could do for these girls, to tell them to return home. And you can feel the emotion in this moment. As they stopped along this road, it's almost like everything that they've been thinking about, all their worries, all their doubts came spilling out in this moment. And you can feel the emotion. They all broke down and wept. Everything that they'd been thinking about came rushing forth. Now, Ruth had a choice to make here in this moment. She could either let her doubts overcome her and guide her to send her back to Moab, or she could choose to trust Naomi, who God placed in her life, and God himself. Now, Naomi ends up convincing one of them to return. Check out the next part of the story. And again, they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same." So we see right here, Naomi is begging Ruth to do the same. Orpah has now turned to go back to Moab. Now, we can't blame her for that. It was probably a wise decision for her. Most of us would have made the same decision this moment. And you see Naomi saying, look, she's going away. You can do the same thing. But as I said earlier, somewhere deep down inside of her, Ruth knew that just because adversity was present, it doesn't mean that God is absent. Now, for just a second, I want to pause and I want to step out of the story. And I want to talk about a little bit more about why doubt comes so easy for us. Why do we doubt? I believe that there are two reasons we all have doubts. I believe it's because of who I am and because of what I see. Two reasons we all have doubts: who I am and what I see. First, who I am. Some of us are naturally skeptics. Doubt is our friend. When others are nodding along, you're doing this. You would be the last person to ever buy into any of those things we talked about at the beginning. You look at them and are like, nope, that's not going to work. I'm not getting that. So doubt is your friend. You're skeptical by nature. That's just who you are. Doubt comes easy for you. You're the last person to ever be sucked in to one of those presentations where you come and you listen to a sales pitch about a product that you don't want and you can't afford for a promise of a prize at the end. You're the last person to go to that. Confession time. This is not who I am. I will buy anything from anyone. In fact, when people are trying to sell me stuff, I think that they have the best intentions in mind to try to sell me. If you want to send your kids over to my house to knock on the door and sell me chocolate for school, I'm forking out the cash to buy the money. Please don't send kids to my house. But this is not who I am. Let me give you an example from my life. Before April and I got married, we were invited to one of these presentations where they were going to sell us on something. We'd already won this cruise. But all we had to do is sit and listen to a presentation. So we go, and we won the cruise. We walk out of there with the cruise. But we also came away with this. Cookware. Before we got married, we bought us some cookware. Now, we won the cruise. As I said, we never took it. But at least we still use the cookware. So it wasn't all bad. But this is not who I am. But some of us are skeptical by nature. Doubt is our friend. It comes easy for us. So that's one reason that we all have doubts. The second reason is because of what I see. We've talked about this as well. All of us have seen other people not being trustworthy. Maybe you've been in a situation at work, or maybe you have a friend and you've asked them to do something. You asked them to accomplish something. And they don't do it. And it doesn't get done. What happens? Your trust is broken. They're not trustworthy. So doubts come to mind. You begin to doubt them. We all have our kids, and we want them to do what we ask them to do. What happens when they don't? Or what happens when they do the opposite of what we want them to do? Our trust is broken. We begin to have doubts. So doubt comes easy for us that way. So two reasons that we all have doubts are because of who I am. Some of us are naturally skeptics, and what I see. All of us have had our trust broken by someone. Let's get back to our story. Ruth had neither of these. She wasn't suspicious of Naomi at all. In fact, she trusted her completely. We don't know exactly why. We don't know why she trusted her so much. But I believe it had something to do with the experiences that they both had shared. You see, Naomi had lost her husband, and now Ruth had lost her husband. And I believe that when Ruth lost her husband, that Naomi was there for her. She knew how to comfort her, how to guide her through this difficult time. We also know that Naomi had lived in Moab for over a decade in a foreign country. And now she was asking Ruth to do the same. So there was some comfort there. Ruth knew that she could trust her. But more than her trust in Naomi, Ruth also trusted God. She knew somehow, deep down, she knew some experience she had or something she had gone through. She knew that just because adversity was present, it doesn't mean that God is absent. And here's how we know that's true. We're about to read a reply to Naomi that Ruth gave. We're about to see what she says back after Naomi has urged her twice to turn back and go. And what Ruth does in this moment is she takes a momentary glance at doubt, and then she slams the door on it. Check out what Ruth says back to Naomi. It says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us.'" When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Imagine this moment. Orpah can still be seen walking back on that road. And in this moment, Ruth turns to Naomi and delivers this incredible statement to her. You can just see the confidence that's coming out when she's talking to Naomi. I bet Naomi was standing there with her mouth open and tears running down her face. In fact, it even says right here, she said nothing more. She couldn't say anything else because of what Ruth was saying to her. This unbelievable show of trust that Ruth had. Ruth made a bold choice here. At her dead-end moment in life, when she looked ahead and all seemed uncertain, she made a choice to not only trust Naomi, but to trust God. And as we'll see in a few minutes, this choice changed her life, and it changed the course of history. I believe something else significant happened in this moment. For Ruth and for us, when we make decisions like this, when we have adversity in front of us, I believe that when we choose to trust, it closes the door on uncertainty. Choosing to trust closes the door on uncertainty. Now, what do I mean by that? How does that work? Well, what happens when we doubt? Well, if we're doubting, we're already uncertain about something. And as we continue to doubt, as we let that doubt fester in our minds, uncertainty continues to grow. Think about it. Maybe you have some friends that are trying to help you move past an addiction or a habit that's not great. And you begin to doubt them. You begin to wonder about them. You begin to say to yourself, oh, they just don't understand me. They don't want me to have fun. So that doubt begins to happen. And trust is broken. And doubt continues to grow. And uncertainty continues to grow at the same time. Think about what happens when we doubt God. I don't know about you, but when I choose to doubt God, when I say, God, I got this. I don't know where you are in this moment of my greatest pain, but I've got this. When I do that, I'm taking the place of God, that only the place where He should be. And when I do that, things go from bad to worse in my life. Because what I'm doing is I'm just shooting in the dark about which way to go. And things get even more uncertain when I stop trusting God. So that's what happens when we doubt. What happens when we trust God in these circumstances? Check out this definition of trust. Trust is the confident expectation of something. Trust is the confident expectation of something. When we trust, we can have a confident expectation in who or what we're trusting in. Now, how does this work? When we face an adversity, something very difficult in our life, and in that moment when we choose to trust God like Ruth did, what happens? Well, as we see God work and move and do things in our life that we didn't expect, what happens the next time adversity comes our way? It's easy for us to trust God again. Our faith grows. Uncertainty goes away because looking at God with a confident expectation in what he's doing. Don't you want to live in a life like that? Don't you want to live making decisions with a confident expectation? Think about that year-end meeting that you'll go to for a job review with your boss. Don't you want to walk in that office with a confident expectation that no matter what the boss says to you, that God is going to take care of you and provide for you? What about when you walk into that doctor's office to hear those lab results? Don't you want to walk into that office with a confident expectation that no matter what that doctor says, that God is going to provide for you and care for you? I know I do. Or how about that difficult marriage that you're in? Don't you want to wake up tomorrow and tear down that wall of mistrust between you and know that God is going to take care of things, that you have a confident expectation that God is going to bring you back together and heal your marriage? That's how I want to live. And I think you do too. We know that Ruth had a confident expectation about what God was going to do because of her words. Let's look at her words again. You can just see by what she's saying. Ruth said, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God, my God." She was confident. She was confident in the decision before her. Ruth chose to trust and she closed the door on uncertainty and she triple padlocked it closed. Ruth chose to trust in this moment of uncertainty. And today, I want to tell you that you can too. Maybe you're facing a moment right now and you looked ahead in your life and all seems very uncertain. I want to give you a tool today. It's just a simple prayer, but it's a bold prayer. I want to give you a prayer that you can pray when you find yourself in these moments. You can say something like this: "God, I wouldn't choose this for me, but here I am. Use me in this adversity. When my doubts are creeping in, help me trust you. God, I wouldn't choose this loss of my job, but here I am. Use me in this adversity. I can't find a way forward. I don't know what I'm going to do to provide for my family. But when my doubts are creeping in, help me trust you. God, I don't know what's happened in my life. I can't believe that I lost that person that's so close to me. And when my doubts are creeping in, help me trust you." I believe you can do that. You might want to write this down and take it with you and try it today or this week. It's a powerful statement that you can pray to God. You know what else is happening in these moments, though? As I've said throughout this, we never know what God is doing around us. We never know. You have no idea what hangs in the balance to remain faithful when remaining faithful is so difficult. You have no idea what hangs in the balance of your decision to remain faithful when remaining faithful is so difficult. You never know what God's doing around you. You never know what he wants to do through you. This is exactly where Ruth found herself. She had no idea what God was going to do through her. But she chose to trust anyway. She chose to believe that just because this adversity was in front of her, that God was going to be there and God was going to bring her through it. And what happens next in this story is simply amazing. So Ruth and Naomi continue down the road back to Israel. There's nothing more that needed to be said in this moment. When they arrive in Israel, life wasn't easy as they expected. In fact, Ruth found herself working in a field every day just to survive, just to get by. Now, the field that she ended up working in was owned by a rich man named Boaz. And one day as Ruth was working there, Boaz noticed her and he fell in love with her and they got married. Ruth had no idea what God was wanting to do. She looked ahead in her life and she thought, "There's no way I'm ever going to have a family again. That picture-perfect family is never going to happen." But now God has provided a way. She had no idea what God was trying to do. Check this out. Chapter 4, verse 13. Look what happens next. So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. And they named him Obed, and he became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. That's right, David. That's the same David that we hear about later on in the Bible. What hung in the balance for Ruth was a legacy and a heritage that now had her in the bloodline of David, who is in the bloodline of Jesus. What hung in the balance for Ruth was life-changing, and it changed the course of history. Her one decision to trust God just because adversity was present, it doesn't mean that God is absent. And Ruth knew that deep down in her soul. Let me ask you today, who do you need to trust? Who has God placed in your life that maybe they're trying to guide you to a certain path, or maybe they're trying to draw you closer to God? Who's He placed there that you're shunning away, that you're doubting, that you're not trusting? Maybe you are in that moment when you look ahead, and right now you're looking ahead in your life and things seem so unclear. Maybe you need to take that and you need to lay it at the feet of Jesus. And you need to say, God, I wouldn't choose this for me, but here I am. Use me in this adversity. And when my doubts start to creep in, which they will, help me trust you. Maybe that's where you need to be today. Don't you want to live a life where when you face a difficult decision, don't you want to live in a way that you can face those decisions with a confident expectation about what God's going to do in your life? You can live that way. You can live with a total trust in God. Today, I want to leave you with two things. First, a truth about God, and then a promise from God. First, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what adversity is in front of you, I want you to know that God's not worried, He's not upset, He's not concerned about what you're facing. In fact, He cares for you greatly. He's infinite in His knowledge and His understanding of what's happening around you, and He will provide a way for you. All we have to do is trust Him. Now, a promise from God, and it comes from Proverbs 3. Check this out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, because we have no idea what God's trying to do around us. Ruth had no idea that she would now be in the bloodline of Jesus Himself. She had no idea what God was trying to do. Trust not in your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. If you're facing adversity today, trust in God. God has called us to trust Him, and He promises us that He will make our path straight. He will guide us, and He will show us the way to go. And I believe that He wants to do that in each and every one of your lives. Today, this week, choose to trust God. And know that just because adversity is present, it doesn't mean that God is absent. He's there, and He's ready to guide you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for this time to learn from You today, Lord. Thank You for the opportunity to hear from You. And Lord, thank You for being a God that cares about us greatly and deeply and cares about every detail in our life. And thank You for being there and allowing us to trust You. And Lord, I pray that this week we will choose to trust You, and that we will live with a confident expectation about all that You're doing around us, and that we will trust You more and more every day, because You want to do something great in our lives. Lord, help us trust You. Help us take our doubts and turn them into trust. Thank you for all that you've done today. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.